Good morning, friends and fellow believers. Welcome to our final session today on Abounding in Favor. Let's pray as we get started today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this bread of life, this fresh manna that we're going to receive today. And as we often do, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come dwell in this place with us. Reveal to us, reveal to each one where we sit today, your word, so that we may walk more fully in more abundance of what you want to do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust this series has been as much of a blessing to you as it has to BJ and I. It has awakened some things that we've probably let slide for a while concerning the favor of God. And at this time, we all need to walk more fully in the favor. And so let me encourage you, go back and listen to some things if it didn't build faith in you. And I think today is also going to increase your faith and increase our ability to believe God for His favor to be coming down to us on a consistent manner. In the last session, we looked at the final area of manifestations that we see God's favor in, common areas. But before I get to those, I want to go over the three verses that we've really been anchored in. The first one is Psalm 5, verse 12. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you surround or cover him as with a shield. So it speaks of not only blessing, but what? But protection as well. Psalm 41:11 has become just elevated in my eyes so much. And it says, by this I know you favor me, because mine enemy does not overcome, overwhelm, or triumph over me. Because he favors us, that protection that is really hinted by when it says he surrounds us with that favor in protecting us in the previous verse. So strong. We don't know all the things we've been protected from. And then finally in Proverbs, the third chapter, the fourth verse, and I'm going to read it once again in the Passion Translation. Talking about the previous verses, it says, that's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men. And this is the part that I want to just emphasize today. And we're actually going to see this as something we need to do in order to increase. You will gain the reputation of living life well. That's you. That's me. People are going to notice, and you're going to see that a couple of times this morning. It's just so, so important. It is part of His plan to promote and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So in past weeks, when we've been talking about areas that His favor manifests, we've talked about protection, battles won, both with no fights and having to go fight and face the enemy, even when it was insurmountable odds. We've talked about a restoration. We've talked about financial blessings. We've talked about land and houses, or we might say real estate. We've talked about basic needs being met. And we looked at examples in those of Abraham, Isaac, the children of Israel, and even Ruth. We talked about honor last week. We saw how David received honor in these three following areas: recognition, preferential treatment, and promotion. And we looked at a number of other people, from Haman and Joseph on to Elisha, and how they participated in each of these. And finally, and one that I think is really important for us in this nation today, the adoption of petitions or the changing of laws as it pertains to the things of God. In the cases we saw, laws were changed, petitions were granted that elevated the people of God, that more aligned what the nations they were living in, even when they were pagan nations, it more aligned them with the Word of God. And we can have that today in this nation if we'll believe and receive it. So today I want to begin to talk about you being chosen to be favored. Now it says many are called and few are chosen. And we're not going to be teaching that today. But I'm just going to say you have been both called and chosen. It's a decision you have to make too when you study that out, to be the favor of God. We taught in session 4 some basics about how to begin to receive the favor of God, to grow in that favor. And we all probably should go review that because it ties and flows right into what we're going to be covering today. We talked about three primary things there. Opening yourself up to instruction from the Lord. So many don't even know we can have favors like healing. They don't even think it's available. It's just whatever God wants for us. But we need to know His will, which is what? His Word. It's also about getting understanding and wisdom. And wisdom, we know, is the principal thing. And what we're talking about here is how to recognize and even the how-tos of walking in that favor. And it's not only favor, it's the favor and the blessing. And I want you to remember, we define favor as those opportunities that are placed in our lives for the blessing to flow in our lives. And then finally, we talked about how my ways are need to be pleasing to the Lord. And we looked at Jesus as our example in that. He said, I always do the things that pleased Him. And who had more favor on His life than anyone else did? Obviously, our Lord Jesus. So let's see today what we can do to what I would term position ourselves under this open heaven or this faucet that's continually flowing and dispensing the favor of God to us. The first area I want to talk about, and none of these are going to be earth-shattering. They're just really fundamental and basics, but it's a perspective we must gain. The first thing is our continual pursuit of Jesus. Now, when I say Jesus, I'm also talking about the Word. I'm also talking about the Holy Spirit, because that's how Jesus dwells in us, in the person of Holy Spirit. And in doing so, then, we're going to have exposure to the Father as well as His beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus. I also want you to see that this walk we have is progressive. Now, that's not a term as it's used today in politics. It is a continuing walk. It is a continuing progression from one level of glory to another, from one level of revelation to another, as we walk with our Lord Jesus. But this is the key. As we are doing that, as that is our focus, then we are positioning ourselves for His favor, which is His nature, because He delights in us to be what? To be poured out upon us. So I want you to begin to think about favor being a natural flow of your relationship with the Father. It's not something extra, but it is something we need to be aware of as we looked at that one word that talks about how He bends over and stoops with an open hand to a lesser ranked person, which certainly that is for you and I, although He's made us now elevated to sit at His right hand. So let's start with Psalm 34 today, verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. In the New King James, it begins this way. The young lions. Now, you say, well, what's this got to do with it? Well, from my perspective, these are those who are strong. Maybe they're headstrong, too, would be a good way to say it. But they believe they can do and go get whatever they need. And that's what a young lion is. Thinks, I don't need mama to teach me anymore. I've learned it. But there's always more we can learn. And so it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Because this is not living by our works. It's living by what? By grace, which is what favor is a portion of. And then it goes on to say, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I'm not saying in that we don't want to go have employment and have a job, but the job is not our source. Our working and striving totally to pursue the job and laying God aside, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about pursuing God and what He's called us to do in the profession He's placed us in, how we can excel in that as His favor comes upon us. The Passion Translation, now the last part of this phrase reads this way, those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Now, you say, well, that the Passion Translation, I guess that's what we ought to expect. No, there has to be a passion, a strong desire, something that motivates you inside to seek the Lord. And let me tell you, it's when you see His love and His goodness for you. The Amplified Bible says it this way, they who inquire of and require. Now, that word require may bother some people, but to me, it's just saying I can require because I have expectations of his goodness being poured out to me. Those who inquire and require the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of his word. So it's not something we're making up. It's a need that he knows we have, and he's provided a way for what? For us to receive what we need. It says, we shall not lack any beneficial thing. And so just to sum it up, I would say, all you need is in Jesus. Period. We talk about living a Christian life, and we think about how to do that in this carnal realm. But really, all we need is Jesus to live this life. He's put it in us as he's placed himself in us. Psalm 147, verse 11, continues this theme a bit. It says, the Lord favors. Now, the word for favor there means he takes pleasure in. So go back and say, the Lord delights in me. The Lord takes pleasure in me. Therefore, he favors me. You just need to have those words coming out of your mouth, just like I do, to remind us. So the Lord favors those who fear him, who revere him, not afraid of, but more reverence. And then it says, those who wait for his loving kindness. So the Lord favors those who reverence him and wait. Now the word wait there literally means to expect. In one word that's used for wait in the Psalms, it means like you're going to set a trap for an ambush. You're going to make sure you encounter the Lord in this case. So waiting equals really hoping and expectation. Zechariah 8:22. It reads, so many peoples and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Now, this is in the New American Standard. Some other translations say pray, but when you study the word out, it literally means to ask for favor. So coming to entreat the favor. So they're what? Seeking him. They're desiring and needing favor. And they're really expecting a positive response from the Lord. That's you and I because we have promises. But I want to just take a moment. And let me just say, it's not because we deserve it. It's because of his love and his delight in us. You know, literally, this is talking about seeking, coming to see his face. That's what is implied in this. But the next verse really carries it on, and it's something I want to elevate in today's session. So their coming is talking about other nations. Now, we go to him and seek the same way, but this is talking about other peoples who are going to come to him. And look at what verse 23 says. Again, New American Standard. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, and it's talking about our days, prophetically here, 10 men from all nations will grasp the garment of a Jew. Now, who is that today? You, me, each one of us who are listening to this. This is us. And look what they're going to be saying. Let us go with you. Go where? To seek the Lord. Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, does that go right back to what we just looked at in Proverbs 3:4, where it says you'll gain the reputation of what? Living life well. Living life under that fountain of flow of the favor and the love of God. So this is part of God's plan of proclaiming the gospel. Psalm 119, verse 58. Now, 119, you know, is about the word of God. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. This isn't something you just go about lackadaisically. It's something that you are sincere about. Let me just say it this way. Your faith and your love motivates you to do this because you know it's going to please God and it's going to be productive for you. So I entreated thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy word. Now, what's that saying to us? favor me according to thy word, because we know that he desires from his word to provide all these things that we need, the things that he wants to do. But I want you to see, there are times when we should entreat, when we should go to him and say, Lord, I need some favor in this area. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I need your wisdom, but I need you to show me favor through people on this earth so that I can go and accomplish what you've called me to do. But it's always in line with his word, expecting it because it's a promise we have. Proverbs 13:13-15. And I'm just going to read this slowly. He who despises the word will be destroyed. I don't need to add anything to that for you. But he who fears, that has more, means more reverence again, the commandment of the Lord will be what? Rewarded. So it is telling us we need to hold God's word in such high esteem that we not only hear it, understand it, but we what? Begin to do it. Then 14 reads, the law of the wise, meaning the word that's poured into the wise, is a fountain of life. I would say a fountain of living waters. And then it says what that fountain of living waters, the word, through the Spirit, will do to us, to turn one away from the snares of death. So there's protection again, to change our ways from the things we're doing that's not creating life in us, and also to protect us as he guides us. And then finally, verse 15, good understanding gains favor. So we seek knowledge, with knowledge comes understanding, and we pursue until we have the wisdom to know how to act on that knowledge that we now understand. But so good understanding gains, or might I say, increases favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So really, when you study this out, what this is saying is that he wants us to be faithful to him. And to do that, we must be faithful to his word. And his word says he wants to show you favor. Now, that includes obedience as well. And you know, in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good or the fat of the land. And so I want you to see that it's not just about being obedient, but it's about having that heart, that passion that we saw earlier for him. That's what propels us to be obedient. And again, Jesus said, I always do the things that please him. Proverbs 11, the first part of verse 3, says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. So what's that really saying? That's saying, I believe, that when we live the word that has been implanted in our heart, that we've gotten revelation from, not that just we heard one time and said, oh, that's nice, but that we've put down in our heart, when we do that, that word with the Holy Spirit will guide us. What does John say the Holy Spirit will do? Quoting Jesus, he said, I will remind you of the things I've told you. So we've got to have it in our heart so he can remind us. And gosh, what favor that really is. But it's interesting to me that just a few verses later, in the first part of 27, reads this. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor. So we begin to just see that continued relationship. That's just so important that we see that. And, you know, there's only one good. And that all flows from the Father. So that goodness is going to come to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a couple of New Testament scriptures. And this is about increase now. 1 Peter 1. Verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Now, I want you to see, this is from the Amplified. And so it's talking about you and I in this epistle. So brace up your minds. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. And then this is the phrase that I want to focus on. Set your hope wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and unchangeably on the grace, and Amplified amplifies it by saying divine favor. In other words, something you don't earn, but what you get. And he says that this divine favor is coming to you when Christ Jesus the Messiah is revealed. So let me read that one more. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, the divine favor, that is coming to you when Jesus Christ the Messiah is revealed. The more we see Jesus, the more we see His Word and get the revelation of it, what should we expect? An increase of favor. More revelation, more grace. More revelation, more divine favor. Second Peter. So in Peter's two epistles, he really starts off with something about this in chapter 1, verse 13 that we just read. But in the last chapter of Second Peter 3:18, it says this, but grow, or I might say increase, in grace, undeserved favor and spiritual strength and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So here we see all those things that we've seen heretofore of, that we need to do. Gaining understanding, having knowledge, recognizing who He is and what He wants to do. All these things tell us that we're going to grow in that undeserved favor when we do it. And who gets the glory for it? It concludes by saying to Him, be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen, so be it. So the last part, when is He talking about this favor being poured out upon us? When we get to heaven? No, that's just going to be more favor. But He's talking about it today. One other area that I really want to begin to close with is talking about our character. It matters. And really, I guess what I'm urging you and myself to do is to manifest more the character of Jesus. All those fruit of the Spirit that is in us that we walk in. And you say, oh, my patience is in there. Yes. Persevering, even when it's tough. And so what we want to see is how important manifesting His character is. Again, who got more favor than anybody? And so I would ask a question. Why do I desire a continual flow of His favor and His blessing? Well, and you could simply say, because His Word tells us true. That is true. But my point is, and I'll ask this in form of another question, is it just so I, Minton, can have more and more and more? No. It is to be a billboard, number one, for Him. Isn't that what we just saw in Zechariah 8 just now? That they want to go to entreat the favor of the Lord because they see it in you. So that's being that billboard. But it's not just being a billboard. It's also being a billboard and being a distributor. Or I might say a channel that he can demonstrate His love for mankind through. And that means it's just not all about us. It's about others. As we give, as we host, as we share, all the things that we do living this life that He's called us to do. He gave us a strong introduction to this in Genesis 12 when He said to Abram at that time, you are blessed to be a blessing. I know I've said that a lot, but if we are blessed to be blessed, we miss the whole point of this. Favor is an opportunity for the blessing to manifest. Amplified. Let me listen. I want you to listen to it. He says, I'm going to bless you with abundant increase of blessings. And it doesn't say if you'll be a blessing. It says, I am going to bless you with abundant increase, and it will, what? And you will be a blessing, and then it amplifies it, dispersing good to others. And that really reminds me of Acts 10:38, how the Lord anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and of power. And he went about what? Doing good, walking in that favor that the Lord had called him to. So let's look at one in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And people will say, well, this one's just talking about money. No, it's just an example of favor. It says, New American Standard, and God is able to make all grace or favor abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, and here's the phrase, you may have an abundance for every good deed or every good work. The Amplified says, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing. And here we get, remember in our early sessions, we talked about favor and blessing. They go hand in hand together. That's how he gets the blessing to us, by the opportunities that favor produces. So God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need to be self-sufficient. And then he defines, I believe, what that is, what is really what prospering is. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. The Passion says God is ready, more than ready, to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you'll have more of everything, every moment, and every way. And he will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. So here again, we see it so plainly. Blessed to be a blessing. When we do that, we're going to be Psalm 23 manifested. My cup runneth over. Now, there's one final thing I want to mention in this study, and we'll be closing with these, and that is humility. Bold as a lion, and as humble as Daniel was, but yet very bold when he was thrown into that lion's den. Of Moses, in Psalm 90, Moses wrote this one, talking about, in verse 17, humility. Listen to what it says. And let the favor of our Lord God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. And think about all the works that the Lord did through Moses. And he said, and the Lord must have approved of it for the Holy Spirit to record it, that he was the most humble man. Do you think there's a relationship? I certainly do. The Passion Translation. O Lord our God, let your sweet beauty rest upon us and give us favor. Come work with us, and then our works will endure and give us success in all we do. And who gets the glory? And who do we attribute it to? The Lord. Proverbs 3:34, and I want to read you three different translations here. In the Amplified, it says, though he scoffs at scoffers and scorns the scorners, yet he gives his what? Undeserved favor to the low in rank, the humble, and the afflicted. The Good News Bible says, he has no use for conceited people, but he shows favor to those who are humble. Now that doesn't that line up then with what we hear in the New Testament as well? More humility, more grace. And then finally, the Passion, the last part says, God's grace and favor will flow to the meek. And who said in King James, I am meek? Jesus did. I am the most meek. So let's pause as we begin to stop and just think about all of God's desire to just pour out unto you, to bend over and dispense with that open hand. You know, St. Francis of Assisi is credited with this quote, everywhere you go, preach the gospel. So I might say, everywhere you go, preach Jesus. Now, what does preach? Proclaim, show who he is, represent, represent him. Everywhere you go, represent Jesus. And if you have to, use words. It doesn't say start with words. Now, this is not scripture, so I'm not saying take it that way, but I think it is a great principle. What have we seen over and over? What did we see in Isaac when Abimelech came to him and said, "We clearly see that you're the blessed and favored of the Lord"? What did it just say in Zechariah? "We see that the Lord is with you." What do we see about Moses? The Lord saying, "Certainly I'm going to be with you." People will see the impact and what happens then. So I can preach Jesus without words, and that's by walking in His love and allowing His favor to come to me, believe it, receive it, and take it. And as it's poured out on you and I, others will take note. If we're humble, if we don't take credit for it, look what the Lord has done for me. That's our attitude. Saints, you've been called and you've been chosen to be the favor of the Lord. The Father delights in you. The Father takes great pleasure in you. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I just want to remind you of these two scriptures as we close. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring men to favor with Himself. Put your name in there. Put that name in there. Put Jan in there. Put Mark in there. Place your name in that phrase and say, "It was my God personally present in Jesus Christ, reconciling and restoring me to favor with Himself." And how did He do it? By not counting up and holding our trespasses. And He not only restored us to favor with Himself, He did what? Committed us to the message of reconciliation or restoration of favor to the rest of the world. Blessed to go be a blessing. Proverbs 3:4. Again, we read it once this morning. We've read it most every week. And my desire is for you to see this manifest in your life. You will gain, through the favor of God upon you, the reputation of living life well. That's you. I very much want to hear of testimonies of favor. I've gotten some already. Some people I know, one in particular who has gotten the job they've been dreaming of after working through several others and being diligent as they were awaiting and believing for favor for this job. It's came, and I believe on the day that I'm recording, they're starting that new job today. So I want to hear more of that. And I assure you, as you seek the Lord, as you inquire of Him, as you progress of Him, to know Him, that favor is going to come right along with it. And so that concludes favor. Now you're saying already, "Well, what are you going to teach next? I told you I was going to do Ruth," and we are. But I'm not ready to do that yet. I don't have all the revelation that I believe we need to really talk about Ruth from a perspective of a kinsman redeemer. And so I'm going to spend some more time on that. So we'll probably have some single or some short series on a couple of other items until the Lord releases me to do it. But whatever He gives us, what do we know? It's going to be good because He is good, and He's good to you and me all the time. So He will show us favor as He teaches us His word together in these coming weeks. We love you guys. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for praying for us and supporting the ministry. And we just say we'll see you again next week. Jesus is Lord, and He favors you.